Hello, my friends. Welcome back. You're listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast, and I am your host, Isaac Weisenhaber. Today, we're going to get into some of the things that you've always been wondering about. Yes, Bella Thorne, Mars, Kanye West. It's all right there. I'm going to try to get into some more if I can. We're going to see how much time that consumes to go through those topics, because I've actually got a fair amount to say about all these things. Do you want to join the Illuminati today? Join the Illuminati from South Africa, USA, or anywhere in the world today? Be rich, fame, and possess power? Benefits given to new members who join Illuminati? Cash reward of $300,000? A new sleek dream car valued at $120,000. A dream house bought in the country of your own choice. 1 month holiday fully paid to your dream tourist destination. 1 year golf membership package. And it goes on and on. That's some of the spam that you will find online. And it's curious because on my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, you will find comments from people like that. I have them flagged for spam and all that kind of thing, so you usually don't see too many, but some slip through the system. And it's curious because I think that it is one of these, you know, Nigerian prince scams or whatever. But it's curious that they're taking advantage of this because it draws me to the conclusion that the alt-right hijack of the conspiracy movement has done the same thing. They are taking a subject that people are genuinely curious about, and they're using it in a way to push their agenda. You know, I try not to get into politics, and I've done it before, so I promise this isn't going to turn into that. It's just something that I put together, and I wanted to drop that idea and see what you had thought about that. So, I don't know, marinate on that. And because I've been reading a lot of interesting ideas from you guys on my various social media feeds, which I may not get time to write back to you, but I assure you I read pretty much all of them. So, I'm curious to hear what you think about that. I know, statistically, probably half of you are into the right wing of the political spectrum. And that's okay. But I'm curious to know what you think about the ideas that are being presented lately connecting Trump and Alex Jones and the alt-right in with the conspiracy realm. Now, as you know, I'm doing a little bit of the housekeeping at the beginning of the show here. I'm going to watch the film Hereditary tonight. Hopefully, I will have a pretty cool little analysis for you on the next show regarding that. From what I've read online, there is a tinge of occult flair in the film. So, look forward to that. I watched the HBO film for Fahrenheit 451. It was very meh. Pretty lame. They, in the film, and what was curious to me was, like, in the film, they repeat twice. They say 2 times 2 equals 5 as I'm thinking that's some kind of allegorical reference to the 1984 book, because in there they talked about 2 plus 2 equals 5. But I didn't really see, they didn't go into the details on why that was a thing exactly. I don't know, the movie was pretty boring. The main actor, Michael Jordan, that's a good looking dude, right? I'm a hetero straight man, but that's a good looking dude. And he did a good job. It's just the movie sucked. I don't know why. And even the crazy, the white dude that was in Boardwalk Empire, he kind of plays the villain, sort of. He did a good job, too, but I couldn't tell you where the movie fell short. Which reminds me, speaking of 1984, there is a 1984 Wonder Woman film coming out. I didn't see the first one. Actually, I started the first one, and I made it about 15 minutes in. Well, no, maybe about a half hour in. And to be honest, I got kind of bored and turned it off. I didn't think it was that good. I know. Makes me a dick. I get it. But the movie wasn't that interesting to me, so. But anyways, there's another one coming out, and apparently it's 1984. I don't know what that's all about. I also watched Thor Ramcock, or whatever it's called. That was actually pretty good. Now, the reason I didn't do an analysis on that one, per se, is because in Thor, there is natural pagan Norse mythology to be found there. But, like, it's such a part of the storyline. There's no... To me, that doesn't really resonate with this overall theme of what we've been exploring about the Illuminati, if we want to call them that, this power structure, inserting symbols and themes of occult doctrine into entertainment. Now, of course, having this overt pagan Norse mythology in there is, you know, could fall into that category, but I'm more interested in the sort of sneaky insertion of the symbolism. So I didn't quite see that there, but I did hear in the movie, in Thor, there's an actor, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Anyways, he plays this Scourge character who I looked up, and I guess he's also named the Executioner. I don't know. I don't really nerd out on superheroes like I used to 20 years ago, but anyways, in the film, you clearly hear him say that his father was a Mason, which obviously we could consider the Freemasons, since the you know, you've got speculative Freemasonry, which is like the more esoteric sort of doctrine. Then you've got the like more literal Freemasonry that was started by the Guild of Actual Stonemasons. But anyways, it was curious that he said that. I gave a quick casual look online and didn't see anything about that as to why that was mentioned, or if that's part of the actual Scourge storyline. I'm going to talk a little bit about Disney actors today as well. We're going to talk about Bella Thorne a little bit later. First, I want to talk about Elle Fanning. She is a curious character because she was in the film Neon Demon, which you haven't seen, I highly advise. It's all about the fashion industry, and, well, I don't want to be spoiling the plot, but you'll find that there is something dark and insidious going on inside the fashion industry in this film, and it ties into a lot of the themes that we've been exploring in the past. You'll see a lot of the symbolism that we've been talking about for years now. She was also in the first Disney film for Maleficent, with Angelina Jolie with the big demon horns. It's all part of the dark hero agenda, showing the negative characters in a positive light, trying to get us to sympathize for them. It's all part of the anti-hero or dark hero stuff, which arguably ties into Luciferian doctrine. But Elle Fanning, she was recently interviewed because she has a film about Mary Shelley that just came out. And of course, you most likely won't see this in any of the theaters near you, because they need to play superhero movies all day, every day. But there is indeed a film about Mary Shelley, and she is an occultist. She was married to Percy Shelley. And if you don't know much of their history, it's very curious. Because she wrote Frankenstein, or the Modern Prometheus, it's called. And of course, the Prometheus is the Luciferian character, the one that gives the fire to man from the gods and allows man to become evolved into something greater than the oppressive god wanted, according to their occult doctrines. Now, Mary Shelley, she actually came up with this tale while she was traveling through Germany, where she had stayed in a castle where there was like a noted history of alchemy going on, which, you know, ties into the occult sciences and whatnot. But what's interesting is that she actually she actually kind of birthed the science fiction genre, which is kind of ironic because none of the movie theaters around, you know, at least in general, aren't going to play her movie because they're selling tickets to Deadpool 2 and the Avengers and all these other superhero movies, you know, which are science fiction, essentially. But her and Percy Shelley were very interested in the occult. There are definite occult basis for them. I mean, if you consider the plot of Frankenstein and bringing an inanimate object to life through the power of the lightning bolt, which is very similar. I talked a lot about this in... Oh, hell, I don't know the name of it. I wrote a book about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And that's essentially the theme that we see. It has to do with aliens and, you know, finding this key to life. And a lot of these occultists are tied into the occult sciences from the, you know, Middle Ages, Renaissance, Age of Enlightenment kind of stuff. And they seem to think, I don't know, kind of in this, I don't know if reductionist is the right term, but like in this sort of idea that things can be plotted out and mechanical and like the human mind can be mapped out. And to me, like, I think the human life is far more complex. I don't think we're supposed to really, you know, crack the code for the human soul or the mind even. But they're going to try like hell to do that. And that's what Frankenstein's about. And speaking of aliens, she's actually starring in a film as an alien. It's called How to Talk to Girls at Parties. And it's about punk rock, and she's an alien that comes to Earth and falls in love with this guy, and whatever, whatever. Again, it's a film that most likely isn't at a theater near you, but it did come out, I think actually in 2017, if I recall. Anyways, doesn't matter. What's next? Kanye West? You want to talk about Kanye a little more? Are you tired of hearing about him yet? I'm not. He's got a new album, of course. He dropped this mystery album, and he did an interview with Big Boy and talked about how 7 is the God number of his album, which is very curious, right? Because the number 7 plays into the themes of numerology, and it depends on how you look at this. Like, I've heard other theorists that study, you know, I don't study sacred geometry and numerology to the extent that some people do, but they'll say that 7 is the sort of connecting the cosmos to the material world, because 4, the number 4 represents the earth or the cube or the square, and 3 represents the creative force or the mysteries, the, you know, the heavens. And that's why the compass and square are seen on the, you know, symbol for Freemasonry. It's the 4 and the 3, and you combine those, and that's the 7. That's the God number. So where did Kanye West come up with that, you know? I think Kanye West is, he's been exposed to something, or he's learned some things about the industry, or the actual Illuminati, or the occult. Something is going on with this guy. It's very obvious. And what's curious is that I think he got re-engineered in the MK Ultra program. I think his MK Ultra brainwashing has set in once again. Because you recall, about a year ago, he was at the St. Pablo concert, and he did these rants where he was going on, and then he had the breakdown, and they put him in the hospital. Well, that's maybe what they were doing to him, is reinserting the MK Ultra programming. Because he, in fact, went to the hospital where it happened at. Where, I mean, there were several hospitals and organizations that were part of MKUltra. But it was curious because in his interview with Big Boy, he is wearing a shirt that says, "Following the light to live to fly." And all of that, to me, is coded Luciferian language. Following the light, because Lucifer is the light bearer, the Illuminati or the Illuminated Ones. The symbol that you see so often from, you know, Prometheus is the flame. And then to live to fly, the, you know, the rebel angel, Lucifer, the fallen angel. So to me, I think there's something going on there, of course. He talked about, during this interview, he also talked about how he doesn't believe in positive or negative. it's all just energy, man. He's all blissed out there in Wyoming or whatever. And, you know, he said he knew what to do with it, kind of like Tai Chi. I felt like I was listening to Gary Busey or something. And then he was going on, and he talks about how he's got this new set of tracks that were a replacement from the previous set of tracks he had before. Like, I guess he had recorded the album, but then at the last minute changed his mind and then made 7 new tracks and put them on this new album, which was interesting because if you want to believe that they MK Ultra'd him again, like maybe he said too much on the first version. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. I didn't get an invitation to go to Wyoming to go listen to the album. But he was talking about how he suffers, and you hear that with his first single that I heard was called Yikes. And he talks about how he's got this mental disorder, or the hell's he call it? Anyway, you know what I'm saying. And he said that he was diagnosed at 39 in the interview, but he won't say what from. You know, when big boys interview him, he's talking about this problem mentally that he has, and he just says, "I was diagnosed at 39." And then Big Boy asks him, What'd you get diagnosed from? And he just says, a mental condition. That's it. He doesn't give any more information about it. Now, what's curious, my friends, is that there is this sort of, I call it the fake news beef going on right now with Pusha T. He's a rapper from Clips, if you recall Clips from the late 90s. And Drake, the Canadian rapper Drake. And supposedly, they've been going back and forth and posting all kinds of flagrant stuff about each other, about Drake's baby mama and then Drake wearing blackface for something that he did in high school or whatever. But they're claiming that Drake has this sort of atomic bomb, this monster beef ender that is all about Pusha T and Kanye West. And it says that it'll destroy their careers. It'll be over. Completely done. Now, Jay Prince, he is one of these, you know, gatekeepers of the music industry. He's the one who actually, he founded Drake. Well, Jay Prince's son technically found Drake. But, it's only because his dad, I'm sure, right? Like, not taking anything away from his son, but like, you know, when your parents pave the way for you like that, like you're just following what someone else already figured out. But anyways, his son found Drake, whatever. And Jay Prince and his son broke it up. They broke up this atomic bomb that Drake was going to drop that was supposedly going to end Pusha T and Kanye's career. Now, what was that? Was it something of the MK Ultra nature that he knew about? It's very interesting. I mean, this whole beef thing between the three of them has been fascinating, to say the least. And the reason I call it a fake news beef is because, like, Kanye dropped the album. Right before that, Pusha T dropped his new album. And then Drake's got a new album coming out, I think, this month, called Scorpio or Scorpion or something like that. And then on top of that, the little cherry on top, Jay Prince himself has a book that he just released. So, I mean, these guys are just going on a publicity rampage right now. And here I am helping them out, right? Now, one final thing I'll say about this. Because my man's a him, KC. Shout out, KC. He sent me he slid in my DMs on the Instagram. And he actually told me something I didn't realize. So I noticed when Kanye West dropped his album, again, he talked about 7 being the number of tracks on the album. That's the God number, he said. And I noticed that, and I thought, because that is kind of, 7 tracks isn't, that's noticeable, right? Like, when you see an album only has 7 songs, you're like, well, that's not really a whole album, is it? It's kind of a short album. But, you know, Pusha T's got a new album, and I haven't really checked it out. I'm not like, you know, Pusha T's fine. I'm not the biggest fan, but whatever. But then on top of it, and sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So KC was like, hey man, like, all these albums have 7 tracks. And sure enough, you look at Pusha T's album, Daytona, 7 tracks. Kanye West's album, 7 tracks. And Kanye West was responsible for Pusha T's album, because Pusha said that, yeah, like 7 tracks, that's what Kanye wanted, man. And then Kanye, you know, he picked the artwork for the cover of Daytona, that's Pusha T's album, and it has Whitney Houston's bathroom with all the drugs in it. And that was that big controversial photo that he paid $80,000 to get the rights to or whatever. And of course, we all know the Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina links. If you've heard me talk, you've probably heard me talk about them already. I think I talk about it every time I open my mouth. but Kanye and Kid Cudi, they've got an album. They made this group called Kids See Ghosts. And that album that just dropped also has 7 tracks. So here we go. We see the 777. Now, if you do a little research, you'll see that Aleister Crowley wrote a book called 777 and the Kabbalistic Writings, which are all talking about his book of the law, the Thelema religion that he started. And what he's referencing with the 777 is the lightning bolt pattern. And when he's talking about the lightning bolt, you could take this a couple directions. So we're going to. One is Lucifer, who fell like lightning from the heavens, as the Bible says, right? Lucifer is the fallen angel. He is symbolized by lightning. The lightning is also representative of the path to traverse the Kabbalistic tree of life. As you go through the, you know, the different sephirot and go along the journeys of, you know, whatever, learning the values of God through each sephirot. So that's why he called it that, right? Now, I did a search, and there's a website called ridingthebeast.com, and it says that according to the tradition of Himalayan masters, 777 is the number of the celestial man and symbolizes the transmutation which takes place at the time where the man becomes conscious of the necessity to cover the path of initiation and that he perceives, even of an elementary manner, that the goal is in God. Now, don't ask me what the hell that means because I don't know. But I do see some interesting things here, right? They're talking about the Himalayan masters. That's who Blavatsky, she went over there to talk to the Himalayan masters. Hitler and the Nazis went over there to talk to the Himalayan masters. Occultists believe that Jesus Christ himself went over to talk to the Himalayan masters because, you know, I guess God himself needs to converse with mortal men to learn, right? According to that, I guess. But, and then I've read elsewhere that 777 is the number for man, while 666 is the, number for the beast. So it's very curious, this 777 link that we see with these three albums. So anyways, big shout out to KC for hooking me up with that. I hadn't seen that yet. I didn't see the 7 tracks on the other two albums yet. Because it was curious, because I was just going to look up the Kids See Ghost album, because I heard a song called The Fourth Dimension. That was actually pretty good. But anyways, and while I'm doing big ups to Kifa for the review on Amazon for The Dark Path. The greatest book ever written is what they're calling it on Amazon. And then Groove 1978 left a review for Sacrifice Magic the Behind the Mic. It's the greatest book ever written is what they're calling it on Amazon. And big shout out to everyone leaving the reviews for the podcast. As you know, like, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to make this product for you. So I appreciate the reviews and the feedback. I'm trying to tweak it to make it just so. I've never done a podcast before. This is my first thing. I can write books, but the podcast game is something different. So I'm trying to make this entertaining. I'm trying to talk about these occult subjects without scaring people, without trying to scare you into buying GMO seeds or whatever the hell Alex Jones scares people into buying guns, whatever. I just want to take an honest look at it. Let's take an honest look at the occult and how it is influencing our entertainment and our world, because it is. The Crowley Aeon of Horus is upon us, my friends. In fact, I'm reading a book right now about Marjorie Cameron. I'm going to have another episode here where I talk about Jack Parsons with a special guest. And we're going to talk about Jack Parsons. I might get into Marjorie Cameron. Just depends if I get the book finished or not. Or I'll just do a whole show on Marjorie Cameron by itself, because there's a lot to talk about with her. So anyways, we're going to talk now about the alien gods on Mars. I bet you're curious about that. So I'm going to talk about it. The Mars was supposed, the big Mars announcement that happened last week was supposed to be this big showstopper, but it turns out nobody cares. Yep, NASA had this huge announcement they were teasing people about, and then they came out and said, okay, everyone, we got it. We've got the building blocks for life, and they've been discovered in 3 billion-year-old organic matter on Mars. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Wasn't even on the Twitter trending feed. But they're saying they found signs for life on Mars. Now, I'm curious as to where this is going. I already know the answer, but I'm curious as to where it's going. They're going to tell us that life exists on Mars. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in our lifetime. In fact, it's going to happen in the next 6 years. And then 10 years after that, we're going to be turned into cyborg digital transhumans to put into the Matrix, the virtual reality world. And if you can't think of hell, then just picture being stuck in Facebook forever, because that's what it's going to be. I got to, well, I think there's someone on Instagram trying to troll me about, oh yeah, you talk about the Illuminati, who are they? I don't know, bro. If I knew, I would tell you. I just know that you can see their desires. You see the end game that they're pushing us towards. And I'm not trying to like, I'm not trying to knock you down any, but, you know, honestly, like I wish I did know, like to be 100% sincere. I don't know the exact people that are in it. You can, all you can really do is see the fruits that they bear. I mean, I realize this is a very, it's not a solid answer. Like, I get it. Like, that's what keeps me up at night. That's what keeps me researching all this stuff, along with tons of other people. That's why you're listening to this show right now, is because you want the answers. I want the freaking answers too. I don't know. I just know that I see these esoteric and occult doctrines in the world around us, and there's a reason it's put there. Or maybe this is like a repeated story that we've done time and time again, and we're just building another Tower of Babel, and we're going to get hit with another great deluge, which I guess the Bible says that's not going to happen again, but like maybe this is some repeated cycle. I don't know, man. I just don't know. But yeah, they found life on Mars, it's kind of. They detected organic molecules and methane. So we'll see where this goes. Obviously, it's not the same as finding a crashed saucer. I think if they did that, I think people would genuinely be interested in that, if they found like a corpse or a crashed spaceship. In fact, just today I was watching one of these UFO doctors on YouTube. Fucking YouTube. They're the worst. YouTube's the worst. Why am I on YouTube? I hate them. They constantly slam me. You know what they did? They put a copyright notice against me. I made that Back to the Future video, which I'm getting a lot of great feedback on. Thank you for that. I appreciate that you appreciate the video. I put the video on there. And on the video, of course, I've got like the audio clips from the film. And I expected whoever owns Back to the Future to hit me with a copyright notice saying, hey, like you can't use this. Because here's the way it works. I don't know if you know how this works as a content creator on YouTube. I upload a video. It'll have a clip from Back to the Future. They'll immediately hit me with a copyright strike. And then one of two things happens. In the case of my Taylor Swift video, where her production company personally reached out and touched me, and they shut my channel down. I couldn't even log in. Bunch of jerks. Because I took images, not even video clips from her video. I took images from her video, and you know, all I did was say she was in the Illuminati. God, take it easy. And then, so that can happen. That's the worst thing. And you get like two of those, and you're done. They can shut you off YouTube forever. Which, please, don't tempt me with a good time. Or they hit you with a copyright strike, and what they'll do is whoever the content owner is, they will put an ad on your video, and then they make money off that ad. Thus, they make money off of your work, your research, your video. I mean, that video, between watching the movie and putting it all together, doing a little bit of research, I mean, it was probably, I don't know, 10 hours-ish, give or take 5 hours of work. Not to mention, like, I have this whole basis of sort of knowledge that I've built over the years, like however long that would take me to figure out. But like, let's just, you know, try to put an hour amount on it, 10 to 15 hours to make that video. And this fake rapper, I don't even want to say his name. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He's got a dumb name. Something McFly. He's an idiot. He put a copyright notice against me because he stole the line, the actual audio from Back to the Future, and somehow fooled YouTube into thinking he owned the audio from Back to the Future. So I got on the horn with YouTube. I know you guys are probably bored already. I'm going to wrap this up right now. I got on a chat with YouTube, and they were like, yeah, this rapper basically owns the content. I said, you're telling me that this rapper who has a video with 110 views on his dumb song owns Back to the Future? And they said, basically, yeah. And I was like, you guys are idiots. I said, let me talk to your supervisor. And then they got snarky with me, and that's where the conversation ended. So I hate YouTube. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people on there, so I'll keep doing it until they kick me off. And then when they kick me off, I'll be so happy. In fact, that's where my biggest number of followers is. I've got like 68,000 followers on YouTube. So please, if you're listening to this and you're one of the 68,000, please unsubscribe so I can stop making them. I'm just kidding. I like it. Whatever it takes for you guys to get the message, I don't care. I'll put it on YouTube. I hate YouTube, though. They suck. Anyways, that's enough of me crying about it. We got to move along here. I'm running out of time already. Let's go into Bella Thorne. You know who she is. She's the actress from Disney. She's a childhood actor from Disney on a show called Shake It Up. Don't ask me what it's about. Never seen it. I'm one of these, I've talked about this before, but like, I didn't grow up watching Disney. We just didn't do that in my house. And like, now I'm thankful for it. But at the time, I didn't get it. Like, everyone was always like fantasizing about Disney stuff. And like, I just didn't care. I didn't get it. I was more interested in like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Which explains why I'm super normal right now. So Bella Thorne, she's, this childhood actor, whatever, whatever. And back in January, she put a quote on her Instagram feed, and she wrote, I was sexually abused and physically growing up from the day I can remember till I was 14. When I finally had the courage to lock my door at night and sit by it all damn night. Oof. I mean, you know, first off, like, I'm sorry that happened to her. That sucks. But of course, my mind goes to the conspiracy realm of like, who did this to her? Okay. Was this, and I'm not alleging it has anything to do with Disney, but they're a little sus, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know that this is part of that Open Secret documentary where these kid actors get involved with Hollywood and then they take these little kids to like parties and get them drunk and drugged up and then do things to them. But maybe, right? And then what the reason I'm talking about this is because she has this new video called Goat. In the video, she transforms into this goat with the horns, which of course we think about the Baphomet, the symbol of the occult, or the satanic symbol that we see for the Baphomet. But we look at the video, and don't look at the lyrics. The lyrics are incoherent babble about some girl who's the hottest chick in the club, whatever. But the video, she filmed it inside of the Viper Room, which has its associations with Johnny Depp, who's totally Illuminati confirmed, or River Phoenix, who died there, which there's lots of theories out there about an Illuminati sacrifice for that. It's a very strange story. It would take a whole show just to get into that, which I see I don't have the time for, because you had to listen to me cry about YouTube for 45 minutes. But so I strolled through her Instagram feed, and I saw a lot of stuff, a lot of Illuminati confirmed stuff. I'm going to post it on the post for this show on IlluminatiWatcher.com. We've got the all-seeing eye 666 hands. We've got, you know, lots of all-seeing eye stuff. But I'll also put the images for the video on there where she's dressed up as the goat. And she even takes her poor dog and puts horns on him. What did that dog do to deserve that? And then, like, in the video, you see one of the guys in the video, and I don't know who he is. He's got these, like, esoteric tattoos, and he's got the all-seeing eye inside of a pyramid. Very visible in the video. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just interested in these topics. Maybe he's, like, super deep, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. But we got to move on. So, check out the images. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's very curious, so put Bella Thorne on your radar. I also have to readdress, I talked about the Han Solo movie and Donald Glover, you know, Childish Gambino. I haven't seen the movie. I still haven't seen it. I'm still like two Star Wars movies behind, because that's the byproduct of writing books about films, is like you no longer can enjoy them. So I don't recommend that. But I said that, like, in the new movie, he's pansexual, because that's what I read online, okay? And I said that when I talked about it. But then I had some people tell me that that's not really the case. I did a little research on it, and there was an interview, and Donald Glover said, "How can you not be pansexual in space? There's so many things to have sex with. I didn't think that was weird. That was that weird. He's coming on to everybody. It just didn't seem that weird to me, because I feel like if you're in space, it's kind of like the door's open. This thing is literally a blob. Like, are you a man or a woman? Who cares?" So, I don't know. Maybe, you know, in the movie, from what I hear, he's not hitting on Han Solo. He's hitting on a robot. Like, it's pretty obvious that him and his robot are in love with each other somewhat. So, just wanted to clarify that he is indeed pansexual, because pansexual means you don't restrict yourself to, like, sexual boundaries. You're so, like, blissed out, like, you'll just do whatever, right? You don't need social norms and cues to tell you what to do, right? Which is fine. It's totally fine, right? I don't care. Live your life. Okay, I'm going to move on to the last subject here. Well, I'm gonna try to breeze through a couple things real quick. Smokey the Bear is fake news, because people like to be controlled. Okay, makes them feel like there's purpose, or someone's watching over and protecting us, which is like 9/11 happened, right? And then we enacted the Patriot Act, which was like the biggest invasion of privacy step to ever happen in America. And we've had that, and no one's retracting that. I don't see your boy Trump retracting it yet. They're surveilling us. They're watching us. They're listening to me right now. And the purpose is, it's always to protect us, which is curious, because like how many big terrorist acts have been stopped by the Patriot Act? Do we know? Do they report on this? Now, maybe it does happen, right? Like I just don't know. I'm curious about it. And to me, like, I don't like the trade-off of privacy for protection, because the privacy gets trampled on, like we found with the NSA when they were, like, stalking their, you know, boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever they were doing a few years ago. But it goes deeper. It goes into the mindset of how people like to be controlled, because they like to feel like daddy's watching and protecting us. You know, I was in the military for four fabulous years, and that's kind of how they they do you like that. They kind of, you know, you work a lot of hours. Like, it's not an easy job. And I worked out in the bomb dump, so it was like, I mean, we worked all the time, and it was like miserable conditions, and you just did it, and it's just the way it was, and you didn't complain about it. But like, on the other side of that, it was like, yeah, but like, we're going to make sure you're taken care of. We're going to give you health insurance. We're going to give you a place to stay. We're going to feed you. Life's going to be all right. You're going to be taken care of. So you trade a little bit of control and give up a little bit of freedom for someone to protect you. And we're trained to obey the rules to the point of no, you know, where was I going with this? You're not allowed to have certain rights. You're not allowed to do certain things when you're in the military. In the military uniform, you're not allowed to, like, you know, go to protest or whatever. And, like, I'm sure there's, like, nuances I'm missing here. But, like, from what I gathered, from what I remember, it was, like, you weren't allowed to do certain things that the regular civilians are allowed to do. You're giving up certain freedoms in exchange for Uncle Sugar to take care of you. And, you know, it's very curious because it's kind of like the prison system. You've got a commissary to go get your food. You've got the dormitory housing that you stay in, and the gang showers and all that. But anyways, the problem is that it, you know, they reinforce boundaries. They've got rules and systems in place, traditions in place, and people sometimes are not able to have empathy for anything outside of those boundaries. Which is kind of what the purpose for the Luciferian archetypes are. It's these people that push for, you know, human expression and freedom. And, you know, that's why Smokey the Bear is a psyop. Right? Are you wondering what I'm talking about yet? Yeah, because, like, to me and my dude were camping one time years ago, and we were trying to start the fire. We had little twigs and bigger sticks, and then, you know, firewood. We had them, like, in a perfect sort of triangular Illuminati pyramid, and we had, we had a flint, we had matches, we had a lighter, and we still couldn't get that thing to catch. And it was curious because, no, I take that back. Let me. I don't want to have a lot of time, but, like, we didn't use the lighter, we used the flint, because we were just trying to, like, see if we could start it with a spark, you know, like, so we were hitting the flint with a striker into this perfect pile of, you know, fire kindling and whatnot, and it was real difficult. In fact, if you watch Survivor, that's what they do at the end, right? They got to start the fire, and it ain't easy. Like, it doesn't come quick. Yet Smokey the Bear is telling us that there's all these problems with forest fires everywhere all the time because people leave, you know, an amber burning or whatever. And, like, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's true. Is it a psyop? Is Smokey the Bear here to make us feel like someone's watching over? There's control in the national forest. I don't know. Hit me up on the social medias. Let me know what you think about that very controversial statement. Is Smokey the Bear a psyop? You tell me. Lastly, we're going to talk about Beyonce and Katy Perry, my two favorite ladies. I never leave them alone. They are Illuminati confirm, double confirm. You know, and by the way, Beyonce and Jay-Z just released an album today as I'm recording this, June 16th. Called Everything Is Love, and the people are losing their minds because they love mediocre music. So apparently that's a new thing. I'm gonna have to watch the videos and all that to see what's on there. Apparently they filmed some of it in the Louvre. Obviously we're gonna see Illuminati pyramids there because that's what's out front, with the eyes above, so below pyramid, as mentioned in the Da Vinci Code, right? But Beyonce, she bought a church in New Orleans. Yeah, so she bought this church that was like 100 years old. It was up for sale for about $850,000, and she bought it because, I guess, it was inactive because the congregation had died off. But it was curious that she spent almost $1 million for this thing. And recently, if you recall, in San Francisco, they had the Beyonce Mass that people showed up to, whatever. Okay. Then you've got Katy Perry, who bought the nun convent over there by the Charles Manson family gathering where they murdered the LaBianca family. Right next to that is this where this nun convent was. And Katy Perry wanted to buy it, and the nuns fought back and told the Vatican not to sell it. Then Katy Perry sued because she has to have this thing. And the nuns went on to say, like, look, she's a witch and all this stuff. Which, by the way, not to segue too far off topic, but I just read that, like, if you follow the whole Keisha story, she said that she was, you know, allegedly assaulted or raped by the music producer, Dr. Luke. And he denies it, of course. But apparently, I guess, Katy Perry was... Either her or Lady Gaga alluded to the idea that Katy Perry was also raped by Dr. Luke. I just found that out the other day, so like might be more to come on that. But anyways, so Katy Perry wanted to get this nun comment. Nun says she's a witch. The court steps in, and then the nun dies. The nun that was arguing about it died just a couple weeks ago. Maybe because of witchcraft? I don't know. But anyways, the point is that Beyonce and Katy Perry seem to be obsessed about buying these centers of Christian, you know, religious worship. And, you know, from what I gather, at one time Beyonce was a Christian. I don't know that she is anymore. In her videos, I see stuff that suggests otherwise. Katy Perry, also curious because she grew up in that religious household, and then she said she sold her soul to the devil to be a music star because the gospel thing wasn't working. So it's very curious that they're both buying up these Catholic centers of worship. And I don't think neither one of them was actually Catholic, raised Catholic per se. And why would they do that? Well, if you believe in the spiritual realm that, you know, because when I go to church 3 times a year, I go to an Orthodox church and we believe, you know, the presence of God is there. And like, you know, I'm not going to prove it to you, but like, you know, I feel it, right? Like on a certain level, it feels nice, you know, it's uplifting on some levels. Why don't I go? I don't know. Cause I'm an asshole. I like to sleep in. I try to go in when I can, but anyways, the church is the place where God is. And we believe that the priest, does the communion and God, you know, transforms it to the blood and body of Christ. There's a spiritual element there, and it's of mystical nature, right? And I think that these occultists and Illuminati people like Beyonce and Katy Perry, they understand this as well because they understand the converse flip side of it. I think that these artists, they're subjected to a lot of dark arts and dark sort of ritual, and maybe, just maybe, they're trying to counteract that by... getting into these sorts of more positive things, trying to get to areas where there's more positive energy. And if that's what it is, that's great. I'm all for it. Or maybe it's blasphemous. Maybe they want to, you know, channel demonic spirits in there to get rid of the, positive energy. I don't know. I'm just kicking out ideas here. Again, if you got any cool ideas, shoot them to me on the socials. Because for now, I'm out of time. So I will holler at you as soon as I can. As always, be your best for those who deserve your best. Good night.